Wow, you've tuned into Radiance by Design, and you know what? For the first time in a long time, I listened to some of the music that is our background music or is our intro music, and wow, I really love that. Tonight on Radiance by Design, we're talking about listening. Listening is a real art, isn't it? But I noticed playing I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, the music is healing music concocted for the sound that creates healing in people's bodies. And my little body was going boo and really loving it. And my body was actually listening to the music. And that's true for all of us, isn't it? So the reason we're talking about listening tonight is because Ashtar was talking about indigo children, which is a subject that we get into periodically. I don't know tons and tons about it, but I do know that they are really a wave of change hitting our collective. They're little paradigm shifters too, aren't they? They're often really mad because of the way we aren't really authentic, so the authorities that they deal with are really usually out of alignment. And these children know things. And Ashtar said, if you want to get to the indigo children and really learn what they're here for, listen to them. Listen to them. And that's what prompted this subject tonight. Because we don't always listen to kids, do we? So this is Veronica Entwistle talking to you on Radiance by Design. Radiance by Design is named because I always like us to consciously choose our radiance. And we can do that by paying attention to what's going on in us. And tonight, through the subject of listening, we're going to learn how to lift and shift our radiance and thereby shift the collective, like make a difference out there. And I love that you're all listening because we've formed, through the years that I've been doing this show, we've actually formed quite a community of listenership. And that's really important, too, because it's Aravinda, who's somebody I really admire. I was listening to some of his teachings recently, and he was reminding us that when you resonate or when you're with people that your authentic resonates, what am I trying to say? When you're hanging out with people who are also trying to be conscious and trying to resonate at a higher and higher level, trying to be more and more in integrity and moving consciously or intentionally to higher levels. When you're together, you really improve the collective frequency. You literally change your world, not just one person, but a whole community of people. And I love to think that on Radiance by Design, we're doing that as well. So we're going to take callers tonight. We're going to talk about kids of all kinds. We're going to talk about you and listening. And where can you listen that it would really help you to improve the quality of your life? So often we find that our resonance is down, our frequency is down, because what's been impacted way down deep in us is a whole defense against being wrong. So, for example, if you're born and you're awake and you know things and you know all about how life goes together, you know where you've been before, you know what it's like to live and die, you have awareness of that kind of stuff, and the people around you are, A, not acknowledging what you're trying to say, or, and we do this to kids all the time. We say, you shouldn't know that yet, you're just a kid, you know. Then what happens is those densities develop through the years because we kind of stifle ourselves or we stuff ourselves in until we maybe go into rebellion or how else does it come out? Addictions, all this kind of thing. So what we're going to do is be talking about that tonight, and we're going to do exercises to help release ourselves from the way we've tamped ourselves down like old pipe tobacco in a pipe bowl because whatever it was we were trying to present wasn't really acceptable at the time. And what we're going to do is start off with our sacred geometric meditations. I hear from quite a number of you how productive these are, how much you get done in these sacred geometric meditations. And we're also going to do some sound meditations, and we're going to do your calls. We're going to have you call in and talk about your life and your presentation. What are you working on in your world? What are your kids working on? What is your family working on? How do you see the world? How do you see our President Obama? What do you think about the health insurance debate? Uh-oh. Do you think that if they all did sacred geometrics, then they wouldn't need so much health insurance in the long run? That's something to talk about, too. All right, let's do it. Let's do our sacred geometric meditation. And after that, I'd love you to call in and talk about your life. All right. A few deep breaths. Now remember, this is a wonderful, we create this vibrational space in which you can consciously pull things out of yourself and recreate some of the vibrational fields that it takes to create the life that you want. You can do a lot of healing in these things, too. It's a place to hide out and amplify your resonance. So let's go. Up above your head, about 2 miles, see a golden ball, a bright, bright golden ball. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And then drop from the upper golden ball down through your spine into the lower golden ball, a filament of light. And have it be bright gold or radiant white gold, your choice. And now, you know, I always feel it running through my spine. Do you? Maybe that's a practice. And now from the upper golden ball to the waist high, drop a four-sided pyramid. And the base of the pyramid is about 20 feet out from your body. And now another one upside down, faces base to base. And then the lower point hits the lower golden ball. So now you're in an eight-sided figure called an octahedron in color of bright clear gold. And whilst you're inside the octahedron, create a crystal ball and have the outside edges of your crystal ball touch the inside edges of your octahedron. Good. Look at the colors of that crystal ball. Isn't it amazing? And now inside that, there you are in a disc. It's a crystalline disc, and you're spinning and spinning and spinning in this disc. Now spin and spin and spin. Now whilst you do, look at the crystal grid in front of you. Good. And on that grid, we're going to place little movies of what you prefer. And the first one, and when you do these movies, I want you to sense and feel your own role in them. Don't just look at them, but create yourself and the senses and even the sounds, because we're talking about listening. What do you hear when you're in these different movies? So the first one is about you, and I always like to see myself as a multi-dimensional character coming from the heart. And I've asked to hear things as well, so I'm hearing some wonderful, wonderful tones coming out of myself as I spin up there. For some reason, I'm still spinning up on the grid. You don't have to, but it's a nice feeling. But when you really get the sense of yourself being whatever it is you want to be, let's wrap it in light and move along and create a vision, a picture, a movie of something you want to produce, whether it's a home and family, a book, a project, a business, and see yourself really alive in that movie. See, feel, and experience. You can almost feel the wind and the people talking to you. And see the individuals that come in to help support you developing this vision. And enjoy them. And feel the supportive resonance of people willing to be involved. Now see your project in full swing. And how successful it is. And how the resources are there. The resources are flowing to keep it going. To keep it going for the long term. As long as you want it to be. And in mine, I'm seeing a lot of laughter. I'm hearing a lot of laughter in mine. So I'm having a really good time in my project. Are you? And now let's wrap that in light and see it just pulsing away there, perking itself, stewing. Now this next section is the Galactic Healing Center. And let's call in our team of healers. Take a look at who they are. And have them circle a healing table. And they're ready to do some work. And the first person we pick is you. Remember, we always want to self-center so we can radiate out in the world in a wonderful centered world. And what is it they're doing to help heal you right now? And as they work on me, I see something very interesting, which is I'm seeing, and of course this has to do with tonight's show, I'm seeing my inner child being pulled forward in this picture. And the healers are working with her. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have that experience, but you can. And what do they have to say to you before we finish working on you? Do they have a special message? Sometimes you want to write those little messages down, don't you? So wrap that in light. And now we're having another table. And this team will replicate themselves around the fresh table. And who is it you'd like to bring in this time? Or the other thing is sometimes people find someone comes in. So that's, either way, it's perfect. And this person comes in. Okay. In my case, somebody brought somebody in. Okay. And there's a question there of helping someone. Okay. And what does the team do? Mm-hmm. Excellent. Now, as the team works on this person, how do you see your team working, or how do you hear them working, or how do you feel them working? Mm-hmm. You know, we'll talk about it after, but I'm seeing these amazing floods of light being penetrating this person who's lying on the table, and he's being kind of gifted with this wonderful, like, balls of looks like liquid light running through his body and healing traumas and so on that he's had in there since he was small. Hmm. Yeah. And then they're giving him a little bit of advice. And I wrap that in light. And we'll do our third one. Have our team replicate themselves one more time. And who else comes in? Okay, and have that person take her place on the table. I don't know this person. Do you know the one in your third healing room? Excellent. And now they're working with her patterns that are both cellular and in the brain. So she seems to be one who has a very, very active brain and it can't be controlled. So they're working on that and they're showing me how to put light, they're putting light right in aspects of her brain to calm this child down. So I say, I don't know this little girl, but I can sure understand her hyperactivity, physical motion. Okay. And have them work away with her. It's almost like they're filling her with light or love. Maybe it's love, but it looks like they're exaggerating cells and filling them. What's going on with yours? What is your healing team doing? Now let's wrap this situation in light so it can continue on its way. And now let's bring in President Obama and have the team circle around him and help him with, he has a gargantuan task on his plate. And sometimes it feels like he's being drowned in the power structure and what my guides call the oligarchy. So let's just flood him with light. And build up his strength and his brain and send him love and send him that purification that can go to help people grow into their power in spite of adversity. And while the team works on him, let's draw in light through the tops of our heads. And as it shoots through our body and comes out through the heart, let's have that light turn bright pink and have that light of harmony and evolution move to some of the hot spots on the planet where we're having a terrible infestations or disease or wars or whatever. Let's just keep moving these great streams of pink light to these hot spots on the planet. That's right. And let's move these great streams of pink light to the Pentagon, to the White House. Mm-hmm. Now, there are certain power groups on the planet. Let's move these lights right into individuals who are holding a great deal of power and keeping, for example, the economic situation going, or where there's being dishonesty and problems with the banks and the people that are in charge of setting it up in such a dangerous way. And in a loving, loving fashion, we send this pink light. Now have it cover the whole globe. That's right. And just pulse this globe with our ability to harmonize with all that is. We all have that ability. Now remember, the frequencies are moving up on our planet, and according to people like David Wilcock, it's moving up all through the solar system and the universe. So as we send these, our ability to create reality is moving at a much higher level. So send this pink light all over the planet and beyond, and then draw it back in through your chest. Good. And let's close off the healing room and tell the team thank you so much for being here, and move into your spinning disc, and let's all spin and spin and spin one more time, and then pop back here in the room with me so we can plan some more Radiances by Design. Remember, listening, we're talking about listening, and we're talking about what Ashtar brought up, which is that the Indigo children would be helped to find authenticity and truth if we would listen to them, even when they're really small. And I was telling Bob at dinner how some years ago there was a little three-year-old who used to wander down the block. People weren't quite as intense about keeping their eye on everybody at that time. And he just loved me. He was a neighbor's child, but he was from a block away. And he called me Auntie Ronnie, and he would come in and he said, "Auntie Ronnie, you shouldn't drink so much tea, because I used to be an old man and I drank a lot of tea and I died." And Bob was just saying that they've done these studies in Iran. I guess the studies were pretty carefully done, eh? And they were studying throat cancer and hot tea, and that a lot of people over there were getting throat cancer and dying because they were drinking tea of a certain temperature. But when they followed up with the studies, they found that if they drank their tea 10 degrees lower in temperature, people weren't getting throat cancer at all. So it had a lot to do with the heat and the tea, I'm assuming. So you see, that little boy knew more than he knew, and it's just a really good example of how kids can actually tell us things. When I was little, I used to remember where I'd been before, and the biggest giveaway was the colors. Have all of you had, I'm sure all of you have had some kind of mystical experiences. And one of the things that's hard to replicate when you've had one of those, the nature of the colors are so incredibly radiant. And I remember that when I was little, that I liked the colors better. When I saw the sunshine when I was little, I used to call it the big yellow, because yellow was never that heavy a color to me, and it used to weigh down my shoulders. And I also knew I'd never been born, and I mean, I never died and never was born. There was a part of me that just went on and on. I knew that when I was really small. And a lot of you have stories like that, too. So what they're saying is, with the Indigo children, it's really important, or not just Indigo children, but children, to listen to what they have to say. Because what if we actually listened and gave them credibility at a very young age? I don't mean to be to be naughty all the time and to be bratty. I don't mean that, but I actually listen to them like when they speak something, they really know what they're talking about. What would it be like? And I was flipping through the Indigo Child book, one of the Indigo Children books that I have. And, you know, one of my big concerns is we have so many really crazy teenagers these days. They're so mad, and it's such a dangerous time for teenagers. And we have such a radically marketed society where they're buying very, very dark and fearful, fear-inducing movies and really ugly clothes and the whole goth thing and all that. I mean, it's really been hard to watch so many of them be so angry and so disdainful of adulthood and us adults. And one of the reasons for that, apparently, is that there's lack of authenticity in us who are still roaming kind of like sheep in lives of quiet desperation and jobs that we can't stand and we're getting dumped from and so on. They're, you know, giving authority to children that we don't really mean for ourselves. And in any case, at the end of the book, they were talking about how do you talk to these kids? What do you do? And what they suggested really I thought was worth reporting here tonight, which was, you book a time with them and say, this is not a lecture time. You're not going to be berated. It's not about judgment. We're booking an hour and we're going to sit down. And then it's going to be talk time and have them tell us what exactly they think of life, what they think of us. And it's basically recommending that you wrap yourself in light and don't get reactive, because this is not about interacting. It's about actually listening. And they claim in this book that some of these really angry, tough kids, when you have these appointments on a sort of a semi-regular basis, will actually start forming a friendship with you because you're able to hear them. And that doesn't mean that what they say is always fair either. But it sort of makes sense to me, because I'll bet you people don't simply listen to them. And if you don't listen to kids, then I don't know. It's not really, I'm not really just talking about kids. How about your own inner child? First of all, I'm going to give you the numbers. You might want to call in and talk about your life and what listening means to you. Or you can talk about anything you want to talk about. The number is 888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. I don't know if I need the other numbers, do you think? Well, that one's good enough for starters. I'd love it if you'd call in. Now, the other thing about listening is my guides are reminding we need to listen to our body. So I'm going to do something that I haven't done. I used to always do it when I was on KNRY radio, making some sounds and listen to what happens in your body. Your body is actually a sound chamber, and a lot of you know a lot about sound healing these days, because that's kind of the latest presentation of, I know it's an old art, but it has been represented in a lot of new ways these days. And our theme music is actually very strong healing music. The woman who created that healed herself with breast cancer by going and talk about listening. She'd had one breast removed. When they wanted to take the other one, she decided to go inside and listen for advice. And the advice that came from her, or from her guidance, from her inner listening, and that's in a state of stress, but from her inner listening, the advice that came was use music and study music. So she went to school, she went to university, and she studied music, and she made sounds, and she explored, and she did research, and so on. And she literally was cancer-free after a while. It took her a while. But that music is very, very profound. And so the guides are always saying, listen to your body. And that can mean a number of different things. But in this case, I want to do a little exercise where we go in and make some sounds and feel the body. So join me just for a minute. This will just take a minute. And the sound I wanted to use is the, I think it started from Yahweh, and it was Greg Braden and... Pardon? Cold Goldman, Jonathan Goldman, and they did this this sound which goes E U A O E. E-A-O-A-U-O-A-E. Basically the vowels. E-A-O-A-U-O-A-E. And if you put it a certain way, you notice it's Yahweh. So what we're going to do is we're just going to make those vowel sounds. So if you can't get those ones right, just make vowel sounds with me just for a minute. And we're going to feel the resonance in our own body. And I want you to call it listening, even though you're actually going to feel it. All right? So what happened in your body when you did that? Could you actually feel it run through your body? So now let's hear the other thing that happened when I was doing that. I don't know what happened to you when you did that, but when I did that, there was a kind of a hollowing out of my body, and it was much easier to do what I call inner listening, or what a lot of people call inner listening. Listening for that still, small voice. Or as the guides were saying earlier, sometimes when you're in a bit of a panic and you stop and you listen, you might have more than one voice, but it's not that hard to discern which ones are in your favor. Like, what am I going to do next? Have you ever had, I remember one time I was driving somewhere and I went, what am I going to do next? I was looking for, a direction or something. And I don't remember. I was in a time of great change. And I heard in my head, go home. So I laughed and went, pardon? And I heard in my head again, go home. And you know what? That was absolutely the right thing to do. And I swear many's the time that you're going to get some really clear directional answers when you ask like that. So one of the other things that I wanted to talk about is how funny it was when I was younger. When I was little, there was a lot of chaos. And I'm going to talk about inner child, so I'm talking about my own childhood. But if you call in, you can tell me about yours. But there was a lot of chaos in the family. We had a lot of kids. We were Catholic. Dad was studying. There was a shortage of money. Mother was overloaded. You know, you can sort of tell. Angela's Ashes, I think that was a book that kind of reminded me of that. And when I watched, I was very small and I was really perspicacious. I was very wide awake and I could see, and I didn't sleep very well. I wish I did. But I could see already. I was probably a psychic at birth because I could sort of see through the fabric of what was going on. And when people were deeply traumatized, and being angry with each other, it was often, I was really clear when I was little, that people weren't who they were. People weren't expressing how they really felt. They were like blaming each other or expecting something to go wrong, but nobody was really clear. And I remember being very small and thinking the equivalent of, well, if they only talk about what's going on, everybody would feel better. So, of course, guess what I did, having a whole bunch of Gemini in my chart, for starters, and being an external processor, which some of you aren't, I spent a lot of my life trying to explain everything. And I that just makes me howl with laughter now, because when I was probably around 50, I took some wonderful hypnotherapy courses from a woman who taught facticity. It was a really interesting kind of hypnotherapy. She'd been trained by Osho, who was Rajneesh. And so she was really a deep and interesting woman. But anyway, as I was studying this hypnotherapy, I learned something funny, which was that, because all my explaining didn't actually change the world. All my explaining didn't help most people. In fact, I probably looked like a pain in the neck because I was talking about things that some people didn't want to talk about. Well, it's still going on, isn't it? But what she explained was that 50% of the world, if you are really direct, okay, then 50% of people turn off. They don't turn off because they want to. They just simply are stressed and go into a trance. So all of my talking was simply freezing the minds of 50% of the people. Isn't that amazing? So I had to laugh a lot and really recognize that I had made a huge mistake. I mean, was it a mistake? I had made a huge commitment as a little person to explain things or talk about things just because I thought it was going to resolve a lot of problems, but instead I had probably frozen some people's ability to communicate about themselves. I think that's hilarious, actually. So I don't try and explain a lot of things now as much unless I'm on the radio. So call in, 888-815-9756. I'd love to hear from you. Okay, so one of the things that happens when you're little and you get confused, or you try to say something and people say things to you like, remember what they used to say, children should be seen and not heard. What do you mean you're saying this and that? You're only 4 years old. How can you know anything? Right now we don't treat children like that so much. But what happens to a child when that happens? Is that inner child, that part of you that's always going to be a little kid, is in there and really confused. And there's a lot of like really intense vibratory fields and old patterns that play out in our subconscious that come from a really restricted inner child, one who's really afraid to talk, one who's really afraid of being wrong all the time, one who's really afraid that they're crazy because the world doesn't acknowledge what they are. Of really awful things that can happen to the inner child that's sort of locked in. So one of the things that a lot of us have learned through the years is something we're going to do right now also, which is let's go inside and have a little conversation with our inner child right now. Why don't you join me in this? And once again, let's use the sacred geometric. Let's use the... Let's just use a double tetrahedron, which is a three-sided pyramid pointing up and a three-sided pyramid pointing down. And go inside that. Just see yourself inside this diamond-like shape. And in that diamond-like shape, ask yourself to meet your inner child. Right? Yeah, can you see your inner child? And ask that child how he or she feels about herself right now. Mm-hmm. Does she feel that she's allowed to speak about what's real with her? Does he feel like he's allowed to be doing whatever it is he's doing? Does he feel that it's easy to talk about what's true for him? Okay, here's another one. Does this person, this little inner child, feel that the authority around him is any good? Does he feel that he can trust the authority around him? Are you getting answers? Because I am, but a lot of my answers are coming in physical pressure. How are your answers coming? Now ask your little inner child how she feels about, let's pick politics, about Obama. Oh my. What kind of an answer did you get? Now let's ask the inner child what she feels about God. Well, that's interesting. Mine split into two. She just went into two parts. One is, it's ridiculous, and one is a really deep spiritual flow. So the mind part went, it's ridiculous, the God thing. But the other part of me is very deeply spiritual and just went into this wonderful flow of trust and love. Okay. And what does she think about you, the big you? Okay. Does this little inner child feel safe? And for those of you where it said no, what would you need to feel safe? That's interesting. You're a big person talking to your inner child. Can you talk to your inner child and tell her that you can make her safe? And what does she say? Is she in agreement? Does she trust you? Okay, so is she angry or he? Are they angry with you right now? I'm going to ask you another thing. Is what impact does your awareness of your inner child have on your physical being right now? Does it seem to reside at some specific place in your body, in your stomach, in your heart? Huh. All right, so I'd like you to say something to your inner child that might help. See, here's the deal, is so often they're in a trapped way of being. Can you see that the trap that they're in? Can you feel the trap that your inner child is in? Perhaps it's indecisive. Perhaps it's fearful. Perhaps it's overwhelmed. Perhaps it's in hiding and would prefer to stay there. What's going on with your inner child? Once you figure that out, can you help her feel perhaps stronger, more confident, more integrated with you as an adult? Can you find a way to talk her into being that way? My inner child popped up in the Galactic Healing Center, and that was really amazing to me, because what they were trying to bring her into was kind of a calm self-esteem. I think my little inner child goes into a panic quite a bit from certain things that happened that made me not able to rely on who I was and the knowing that I had, going back to the indigo. You know something, I'm a lot older than a lot of these indigo kids, but the research I've done says that 5% of society has always been indigo, because there's always been this wave of people who wanted to make change. And I believe I am one. I don't know if Bob is, but I believe I am one just because of all the descriptions. So when I go back into that, they were talking to me about how she needs to be pulled back into self-esteem at a new level, because she was denied her knowledge at such an early level and such an early age. And, you know, there was a lot of, in the olden days, violence. You know, you don't want to spare the rod and spoil the child and all of that kind of stuff. So there's a real shakiness in my inner child, even though I've done a lot of work. So what I would say from this experience tonight is it's a really good idea to tune in and absolutely listen to your inner child, even if you're 40, 50, 60 years old and have already done this, 70 or 80. Who cares? Get in there and listen to your inner child on a regular basis, because a lot of you are movers and shakers. You're making big changes out there, and you're wanting to change things on the planet. And it would really make you a lot more confident if your inner child was in sync with what you're doing. Here's another thing that we were talking about with the guides before the show, that we're talking about how on the planet these days, and I did a pre-record of an interview for Paradigm Shifters today of a fellow who was talking about consciousness and business. And it doesn't matter what are the cutting edges of change on our planet, they all say the same thing, which is people are learning to, or we're beginning to wake up to coming to life from the heart, which would include how we talk to children, wouldn't it? And a fellow that was on last week on Paradigm Shifters, his name is Go Wei, and he works with the brain and so on, talked a lot in his book, Mystic Cool, about how the heart has its own brain. It has its own mind. And when we were working with the inner child just a few minutes ago, and I asked you to check where he or she reflected in your physical, and mine was in the stomach, like in the actual solar plexus. And, of course, books have been written on the intelligence of the solar plexus as well. So, like, we're talking about listening to our bodies in a very interesting way. So, for example, if we're going to come from the heart itself, the actual, I would guess it would be the heart chakra, but the actual pumping organ has a lot of intelligence and a lot of knowing of its own. So let's just take a minute and pop into the body and listen to your heart for a change. Now, I've heard people say, come from the heart, for a long, long time. But sometimes I stop and go, I'm not quite sure what that means. Does it mean it's only coming from the things I love, whether it's deep fried onion rings or some person or people? What does it mean to come from the heart? But I like to know that it's actually a brain, that the heart itself has an actual brain. And its drive, and I'm just talking to the guides about this right now, that that brain is driven to that which improves our feeling life one with the other. It improves our ability to reach forward. It's the actual cynical thinking, isn't it, that prevents us from reaching forward from the heart and lifting one another. It's usually, I don't want to make an ass of myself, I don't want to be too vulnerable. What are all the reasons that we don't lead from the heart? So what they're showing me right now, and amongst a number of you out there who are, I see a number of people out there, and I see some of you being really restricted in the heart area because of what? A loss of courage, a loss of self, or the fear of self, or pick a number here. All these different ways that grief, how much grief have you had that keeps the heart kind of, it's not just shut down like a cynical person. It's more like it's softly weighed down by the pressures and weight of loss. So the brain of the heart needs to be kind of released. We need to run some beautiful energy into the heart to actually release it so that it can perceive with more intelligence and release itself from those traps. So why don't we do that right now? Why don't we take some beautiful golden energy? Let's use gold, because the heart is usually represented by red or fuchsia or bright green, isn't it? But my guide said right away, we'll use some gold. And we're going to send we're all going to put these in a structure so that we don't pick up on each other's energy. So let's do a golden tetrahedron again. And I want you to let yourself imagine this golden tetrahedron, which is a three-sided pyramid pointing up. I already mentioned it earlier. And a three-sided pyramid pointing down. And when they hitch together, they form a three-dimensional diamond. And I want you to imagine this beautiful golden three-dimensional diamond shape and your heart chakra is right in it. And you put it right in there. And you let yourself see and feel all the disappointments that came up in it and resistances to making an ass of yourself because of experiences you've had or incredible shyness or a loss of courage or any of those things that prevent you from just coming into the world as the loving character which you are intrinsically. And let's just put all of that into the heart chakra and put it into your double tetrahedron. And now let's just spin and spin and spin and spin it and feel it moving upwardly in its frequency. Feel that frequency moving up and moving up and moving up. And as it moves up, you feel lighter and freer. And you know something? Maybe you're not going to rush out and start loving everybody like mad and they'll think you're a Fruit Loop. But you know what will happen is you clear the energy of loss out of your heart chakra. You're going to hear and feel, you're going to be able to listen to love moving through your body mind so that you can go into the world and be actually a very big contributor in a time of change on the planet. What we're hearing is that even in businesses and so on, people are learning to bring their authentic natures in, learning to have conflict resolutions, and learning to have a win-win environment, which is allowing us to move from the heart in a much easier way. So we clear the heart together. And now, let's see, what else? I think I'm going to talk about my next show, which is about, he's a fellow who's got promoteabook.com, I think that's it. And I'm talking a lot about the publishing business. And he's going to be very involved with, I was going to call it Sacred. It's a conscious business seminar in Calgary at the beginning of October. And it's really going to be an interesting seminar where a lot of people who are big names are going to come together and talk about shifting the business climates and coming from the heart and so on. So his name is Michael Drew, and I'll be talking to him on Paradigm Shifters, which is now on at 7 o'clock. It's now on at 8 o'clock on Tuesday nights. We've just changed our hours. I hope some of you are still listening out there and didn't just lose me when I moved from Tuesday. Anyway, he's going to be a very interesting interview. And the fellow the next week is a fellow from the Conscious Business Institute. He started the Conscious Business Institute. He was once a venture capitalist, and he calls himself a recovering venture capitalist. But he also is working on coming from the heart and raising the fields and frequency and working with authenticity and business, authenticity in himself, and the pleasure and happiness of being true to who you are in a work environment. He's really very inspiring. So these two people, there's kind of a trend here about moving toward consciousness and business. And the thing about all of these, including the Mystic Cool Fellow on Tuesday, is that they all have been through incredible difficulties where what happened was that they had to get to a point of going, this is impossible, my life is not working. The fellow on Tuesday night was the head of a big medical school, Stanford Medical School, and he was having an awful time. He was always stressed. He had a large family and a difficult marriage. Lost his job and got a brain tumor. So that was just so that he couldn't do anything. He had to stop, look, and guess what? He had to listen. And the fellow who also is coming up next week, his name is Peter Matisse, he also had to get to a point where he stopped, looked, and listened. I haven't talked to Michael Drew about that, but I'll bet you he's got a story. But in the listening, Don Goey, who did Mystic Cool, in the listening, he discovered so much information and solution-oriented activity coming in his brain. He learned probably in an hour that moving from anxiety to peace was highly possible and would actually shift his biochemistry and his brain pattern and so on. And it changed his life. In fact, he got a healing with his, he had to have surgery for his brain tumor. But it healed really well. He got a healing with his marriage for a little while, and they had an amicable settlement. And his job was reoffered to him again because he had changed so much. But he got that from inner listening. And that's something that you can do and I can do. The thing about the fellow, Peter Matisse, he also talks about stopping and then listening inside and finding out if what he's doing is in truth with himself. What he talked about was the biggest blocks in business and all kinds of things are running up against the lack of integrity and people rationalizing that we can do this and that, and we know this about the corporate climate these days and the economic crisis, that the and this reminds me of the Indigo Kids in a way, that lack of integrity is so widespread as to mean that there can be humongous dishonesties going on out there, and everybody expects it to stay that way just because That's the way business is, and that's the way money is. And what he's saying and others are saying is that if you stop and you really move back into integrity and back into listening and back into the truth of who you are, a whole new kind of business starts. And the same with the kids, the Indigo kids. If we stop and look at why they're so mad, for example, or why they're absolutely intolerant about the lies of authority that come to them, and we actually listen, we'll learn how to kind of honor and value the truth of who we are. It's a very exciting time on the planet. I wonder if there's another thing is that we're actually born with attitudes. We're born with sometimes passing on restrictions. Let me see. We're born, as the guides were saying, with, say, racism. Isn't that what they were saying? We're born with closed down hearts at times. We're born with hierarchical attitudes or prejudice against women. Or we're born with a lot of that stuff. So, again, it's that just carrying on those programs that have run through ourselves and through our communities and so on without stopping and listening means that we're carrying on the programs that I guess I would say are without really deep thought. And Ramana Maharshi is one of my favorite masters or gurus. He's just so loving. And one of his favorite mantras for teaching you to go in and really hear about yourself and what's true for you, it's a really wonderful evolutionary mantra, is who am I? That's what Peter Matisse was talking about today, is who am I is one of the greatest mantras to use when you want to go to inner listening and really move into the truth of who you are and your authentic nature. And around that, amazing, amazing healing can pivot. Even if, like in a family, if people begin to stop and really listen to who they truly are, the actual vibration, the radiance is coming from people, one to the other and back again, will shift, and the possibility of a change is tremendous. So I'm swinging from the initial one of listening to children to just a global reality that as a species, I think we're being bidden maybe by our higher fields and so on, maybe by our spirit guides or perhaps the pulse of evolution as it's moving through us all during these times of change as we build up to 2012 and the ending of systems that are, I think, up to about 250,000 years long. I think we're actually being awakened into listening to our inner selves and to our higher prompts and shifting our species. We'll probably see that pretty soon. We'll know pretty soon whether we can handle the challenges of these times. So this is Veronica Entwistle, and my next show, I've already said, Michael Drew will be on Paradigm Shifters on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock here on BBS Radio. And next week, and right after this, if you can stay tuned, it's Jackie Salvitti with ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. It's a wonderful show, and she, Jackie, will regale you with all her incredible learning curves, which are, she's such a devoted evolutionary being herself and does a wonderful healing work. But then she starts to channel her team, which is a very exciting thing as well. They'll take you through some huge consciousness shifts. So stay tuned if you can. And then next week, again, it'll be Radiance by Design with all of your callers. We didn't get one caller tonight. Guess I'll have to get out there and wave flags or something so you'll know to call in. And so that's on at 7 o'clock next Tuesday night, followed again by Jackie Salvitti and ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. If you'd like a healing session with me, or if you'd like to feed me back on the shows or suggest Paradigm Shifters, it's Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com. No H in Entwistle. That's Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com. And for those of you who can stick it, I'll see you at the top of the hour. Many, many blessings to all of you, and thank you for being the Radiance Community.